Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of February, 2012, Washington's birthday. Yes, this is the official President's Day, birthday of our first president, George Washington. Also, it is Ash Wednesday as Christians begin the Lenten season. Our condolences this afternoon go out to Marana Mayor Ed Honey with the passing of his wife Jan, who died yesterday. So our condolences to Mayor Honey. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice, and The Voice Network stations, KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and KAPR, AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we understand that not everybody can be listening to the program live, so we make it very convenient for you to sample any of our programs by logging on to any of three venues, buckmastershow.com. Buckmastershow.com also is our website for all of the archives for the program, TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We are good to go with a leadoff interview with another of the five Republican candidates running in the special April 17th primary for the open seat in Congressional District 8. We will talk with John Lavold. He is one of those five Republican candidates. 20 minutes past the hour, travel warnings are up again for Nogales and Rocky Point. Should travelers be worried? We will talk with Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico, Keith Rosenblum. 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with the United States Representative from District 8, Raul Grijalva. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, open for you anytime during the hour. You can always email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with one of the five Republican candidates in that special election to fill Representative Gabrielle Gifford's seat. John Lavold, a United States Army veteran who now works as an interrogation instructor at Fort Huachuca in Sierra Vista. He has joined the race. This is his first run for public office. He joins us now from Fort Huachuca and Sierra Vista on the Buckmaster Show live line. John, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. John, why did you decide to get into this race?
Well, actually, Bill, I was actually already in the race for the new Congressional District 2. I put my name in the hat back in November, and the day that Gabrielle Giffords announced she was going to resign, I had actually given a speech the day before mentioning that soon we'd probably hear that she'd be resigning since she just hit the amount of time required to gain a retirement. I'm sad to say that's what happened. So I was already in the race. So here I am.
Well, you're in the race, and of course, let's talk about issues. Sure. What's at the top of the agenda, John?
The border. The border is the most important thing for this district and in this race, followed up closely by jobs, and then we move on to things like energy. Let's start with the border. I am the only candidate in this race that lives in Cochise County. For me, the border is in my backyard. I can see Mexico from my house, if you will. But it's very personal to me. And the problems that we're having at the border are national problems because we have managed to secure a large portion of the border, excluding the Tucson sector, which is about half of the state, the eastern half of the state. And by leaving this portion of the border not wide open, but much, much less defended than the rest of the border, we basically invite illegals to come through this particular sector. That's a problem, not just for us here in this district, or for me personally, who has children in school just a few miles from the border, but for the nation. This is a major traffic thoroughfare for illegals into this country, and we need to put a stop to it.
We're speaking with John Lavold, a United States Army veteran. Did I pronounce your name correctly? How is it pronounced correctly?
You're perfect.
Perfect. Okay, well, there you go. Now, you do have a very compressed period of time here, John, with the April 17th coming up very quickly. Name recognition is important. There are five candidates. How are you getting your name out there?
Well, I'm going out and talking to people, Bill, doing speeches here and there, talking to the Tea Parties, talking to the Republican clubs. We've got a series of debates, as I'm sure you're well aware, set up for all the candidates at different venues throughout March and April. It has been hard, though. The name recognition, you're absolutely right. That is the number one problem. And what I have going for me, I guess, on that front, though, is that name recognition cuts both ways. There are some other people in this race that have a lot of name recognition, but it's not all positive. So in that sense, I have no negative name recognition either, which is great. But
you're kind of starting from scratch in a way.
Exactly. And I would remind everyone, too, people have said, well, hey, this is your first race, and it's a federal congressional race. Well, let's not forget, Jesse Kelly's first race was about a year and a half ago for this district. Martha McSally's first race is this race. Dave Sitton's first race is this race. Frank Antonori's first race was this race in 2006. So it's not as if the people of this district have not voted in people who were running for the first time. If I'm not mistaken, Gabrielle Giffords, this was her first race when she beat Randy Graff in 06. So you're
saying anything can happen?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Rosemont Mine. Are you a supporter of the proposed mine south of Tucson?
I support anything that's going to bring jobs back into this district and lower the abysmal 8.7% unemployment we have right now. 6 years ago, when Ms. Giffords took over, the unemployment rate in Arizona was about 3.7%. It's now at 8.7. Anything we can do to bring jobs back here and keep jobs that we have here, we need to do.
But the environmental concerns with the air quality and water, you think those have been addressed?
All of those need to be looked at. We should be responsible conservators of our environment. We should be aware of what we are doing to our environment. However, the priority needs to be with putting Arizonans to work, keeping jobs and money in this district, and keeping the people employed.
John Lervold is with us, a U.S. Army veteran. John, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're an interrogation instructor. That sounds like that's kind of exciting work at Fort Huachuca. But where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Sacramento, California. I joined the Army back in the mid-90s, did 10 years. Started out as an infantry paratrooper, where I had an even more exciting job. I could tell people I jumped out of planes and blew up tanks. And then after a little while, I looked at what I was doing and looked at my options within the military. I saw human intelligence and felt that my talents and skills would be better served in that field. I moved to that field. I was taught Korean. I'm fluent in Korean. I deployed to Iraq as an interrogator with troops under my direct purview. I had 52 people that I maintained on a daily basis. But what sets me apart, my military experience, as you know, and I don't want to go on about this, but as you know, 4 out of 5 of us in this race have military experience.
Right.
4 out of 5 of us have been deployed to foreign theaters of combat. The difference between the experiences of the other three and myself is that the other three have only dealt with the enemy through the sight post of their rifle or through their screen, looking through their weapon system and their aircraft. I have actually sat down face-to-face, man-to-man, one-on-one, and talked to these people. I've talked to them at great length about their motivations, their families, what they do, their country, their opinions of us, their opinions of themselves, etc., hours and hours and hours. I know the enemy. I know them up close. I know them personally.
And I want to quickly go over some of the issues that you were on an event with the Arizona Daily Star.
Yes.
On the internet, and you covered a lot of issues. You're pro-life, anti-affirmative action. You believe the health care overhaul should be reversed, and you're a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, which, of course, gives people the right to keep and bear arms.
Correct.
I want to go back to foreign affairs, and I bring this up with all the candidates because I think it's a huge issue, and that is the looming war clouds in between Israel and Iran. What should this country's position be if Israel does take out some of those suspected nuclear-making weapons areas there in Iran?
Okay. This is a very, very complicated issue, and I would love to speak with you at length for hours and hours about this because a lot of nuance. But I think what it needs to boil down to is this. Only one of those two countries has been our staunch ally, and that's Israel. They have been our staunch ally since they were created. We need to approach this situation with that at the front of our minds, not in the back of our minds. And if we look at that situation as these are our friends, as opposed to this is another country, I think the situation will be better resolved. I'll say that. But like I say, this is a very, very nuanced and complicated situation, and I'm really doing it injustice talking about it for such a short period of time. But I think the bottom line is, once again, Israel is our ally. We need to remember that. That needs to stay on the front of our minds.
How are you going to bring more jobs to southern Arizona, John?
Well, part of that rests with the state and the state policies, frankly, and I think a lot of the guys up at the State House are doing a good job trying to attract more business and more businesses. But I think what we can do from the federal level is we remove regulations that make it more difficult for businesses to hire, that impose a costly and unnecessary regulations on business, not because a body of people has said, hey, this is going to be good for all of us, we need to impose this regulation, but because one or two people appointed at the head of specific regulatory agencies have said, we need to enact this regulation. I think we do that by removing the ability of a lot of these regulatory agencies to regulate by fiat, by decree, move that power back to Congress. And I think an important step we really should be taking in order to really look at our laws again and what we're doing and really reevaluate what's working and what's not, I think what we need is a constitutional amendment that basically sunsets every law passed by Congress after, say, I think 10 years is a fair amount of time. That way we're forced about every 10 years or so to look at a law, no matter what it is, that Congress passes and say, was this a good idea? Yes, vote on it again. Was it a bad idea? Yes, get rid of it. It's what we've done is we've stacked regulations on top of regulations on top of regulations, and we have multiple agencies imposing regulations on different businesses from all angles, and it makes it very difficult for small business to hire and maintain employees and maintain their business and make a profit when they're fighting the federal government at every turn.
John, we're going to have to run. John Lervold, that's Lervold. Where do folks get more information about the campaign?
Go ahead and go to www.jlforcongress.org and go ahead and click on my Facebook link in the upper right-hand corner. Hit like for me if you would. And if you'd like to donate, please donate there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John, and we'll be talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Coming up now on 1218 on the Buckmaster Show, is Mexico safe now for spring break travelers? Keith Rosenblum joins us on the Buckmaster Show as we continue with this Wednesday edition. Stay with us. Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
It's 1222. This is Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Mexico attracted a record number of foreign visitors last year despite a frightening drug war that's prompting travel warnings for a number of areas around the country, including Nogales, Sonora, and the beach areas of Puerto Penasco, also known as Rocky Point. April of last year was the first time that the popular beach town was mentioned in an official travel warning. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Keith Rosenblum. He is our contributor on the border and Mexico. Keith writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star. Keith, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing well, and I'm still lamenting that your introduction of me doesn't go on for another minute or
Well, you know, I knew you were going to say that, and I know you take issue with that long introduction, but Keith, as you know, every day...
You cut into my time to tell you about Rocky Point.
Every day, more and more listeners come to the Buckmaster Show, and we just want them to know about your really sterling credentials.
Oh, in that case, okay. So then I'll be quiet. I'll have to teach you also in the next crash course with you. We're going to show you where the Enya is on your keyboard. It's Alt-164. That will it's Puerto Penasco with a Nya, as opposed to Penasco.
Okay.
A separate letter.
How about this Wall Street Journal column by John Bussey? Amid the murders, Mexico quietly thrives. Had a great year for tourism.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because Americans are really the last of the great cowards or wimps. And Europeans and Canadians and everybody else who's going to go on vacation aren't impeded by or aren't deterred by those kind of sensational stories. By the way, they're sensational stories that that the press has to write about, but they come from our own government. In this case, it's saying these places are dangerous. But this is the drum that I'm on probably 15 or 20 years of beating. I'll do it once again. The drug war, for the most part, is internecine. It is people beating themselves up, people taking themselves out. The likelihood of anything happening to Bill and his homies when he goes to Peñasco or Nogales or Alpiet or anything is less than if Bill and his homies go to San Diego tomorrow or Chicago. Statistically, you are far safer anywhere in Mexico than you are anywhere in the U.S. But we cower, we spook, we whatever, because we're xenophobic or language phobic, whatever, and stories like that compel us. But right now, I'm going later today up to Mexico, and I'll be going through Nogales. I've just been in Rocky Point last week for the meeting of the Arizona-Mexico Commission, and it is as it's a prosperous, burgeoning country right now. Their growth is better than ours. Their tourism sector is hurt because we're not going there. But the Europeans and the Canadians and other Latin Americans, for that matter, are going.
Yeah, it's interesting. Expedia, the travel service, Keith, says it has seen this surge in travelers to Mexico from emerging markets and the Russian travel market. They're tapping into that. Russians are dropping a lot of money, we're told, in the Wall Street Journal, as spa treatments, and they're spending a lot of money in places like Cancun. So things seem to be really doing in that part of the emerging market seems to be really strong.
Actually, I was in Cancun last year for the meeting of the Asian Development Bank. They had a gathering there, and it's fascinating to see the screen with all the origins of the flights. There's Paris, there was Moscow, there were all these places, and they're nonstop. They're not coming through Houston or Dallas or Newark. They're going straight from, and the number of foreigners that you run into, even in off the beaten path places, is amazing. You do see license plates, even in people who are driving from Canada, from all the provinces, and from throughout Latin America, and then of course foreigners who just rent a car or take tour buses off. I'll see every so often a Swiss or a German bus that they take with them on a ship and then offload into Mexico, and they travel together. It's the funniest thing.
Well, you were mentioning ships, and the cruise industry now is avoiding Mazatlan and Acapulco big time. USA Today said that the Mazatlan travel is down 80% since the cruise ships stopped coming.
Well, the cruise ships are a very distinct part of that market. And they're people who are, as you can see with the capsizing of the cruise ship in Italy, they're people who are, it's the getaway of a lifetime. It's the 8 or 10 day escape. It's not the kind of tour. You get off the boat for a couple of hours. Maybe you're in a place for a day or 2 days, and you proceed. And I think that they, much more than other parts of the tourism business, are volatile. They'll react far more to a story in today's New York Times than you, as you decide to go down and to go scuba diving in Cabos or go to Peñasco or Loreto or somewhere like that.
Did I miss it? Are you in Mexico right now? Did you say?
No, I'm en route. I'm en route. I'm going to do some stories about the aviation industry right now in Sonora and between Sonora, Baja, and Chihuahua. You now have a cluster that in a couple more years, combined with the other clusters of the aviation industry, pretty soon is going to be Mexican. You'll be able to have a Mexican-made aircraft, as in 100% Mexican-made. That's how burgeoning the aviation industry is. Little by little, they've gone after Boeing, Airbus, all of the other, I'm trying to think of the other business jets, the Cessna. It's become a huge part of the Mexican economy the last 10 years, and I'll be doing some stories on that and also some others on some other economic stories.
Keith Rosenblum is with us. Keith, it joins us at least once a month. We talk about Mexico. And what about getting some I know the people at Tucson International Airport really would like to see Aeromexico or somebody, another carrier, start serving Sonora or other parts of Mexico again. What are you hearing about that?
I'm detached from that, and so I don't know. I know that having flown for 15 or 20 years out of Tucson Airport and going throughout the country, that the demand is here. What's happened is that I think that Sky Harbor managed to lure everybody away because of the hub system, and so you know, you can come from any part of the U.S., and then you make your connections to Hermosillo or Culiacán or Obregón or Los Mochis.
We're going to have to run, Keith. Can you stay with us into the next segments? Don't go away. Okay.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is calling for an end to dozens of subsidies and loopholes that he says offer tax breaks to companies that move jobs overseas. And the administration's also proposing cutting corporate tax rates from 35 to 28%. Republican Mitt Romney calls for a 20% across-the-board cut in personal income tax rates as part of a program to help get the economy moving again. Activists say more than 60 people have been killed across Syria today as President Bashar Assad's regime continues its assault on the city of Homs while also escalating attacks on rebel bases elsewhere in Syria. Modest losses on Wall Street at the moment. The Dow is down about 7 points, 12,959. The NASDAQ is off 8. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Still to come, we'll have Congressman Raul Grijalva here in about a minute or two, but we do want to wrap up our interview with Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico and the border. Keith is on his way to Mexico right now to do a couple of stories. Keith, I've only got a minute or so with you, but thanks for sticking around over the break. There is an election, a big presidential election coming up in Mexico, and the nation's ruling party has chosen a woman as its candidate for president, a test for a society where Mexican women could not vote until 1953. Is there a lot of excitement about this?
Not in my world. It's pretty routine. There have been lots of governors now who have been women. I don't think that would be much of a transition. The most interesting is going to be the wild card in this race is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who's from the left party, PRD. And this is going to be fascinating. He's not well known right outside of Mexico City, but he's a charismatic guy. And for you, Bill, you should take... be happy to know that he's named his cabinet. He's done something that very few presidential aspirants have done in the past. He's named everybody that would fill a ministerial position in his government. And guess what? They're all in their 60s, 70s. I'm not sure anyone's in their 80s, but they're all people who have been around. What he's trying to do is to get tell the country, hey, I can be trusted. Look at all the people I'm going to be bringing in to run the nation when I win.
Well,
don't count them out.
So he's got a cabinet full of aging baby boomers, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And that's for Pemex, and that's for economy, and that's for foreign relations. And that's the kind of thing that a gutsy person does, is to say, you know what, I can upstage the PAN, which is the ruling party now. I can upstage the PRI, because I'm going to bring in, I'm going to let people know who I am by virtue of who I'm going to put in my secretary position.
Keith, have a great trip into Mexico, and we always appreciate your visits with us here on the Buckmaster Show, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Bill. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Well, 12:37, this is Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network stations. Joining me in studio, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, who officially launched his reelection campaign on Sunday. Mr. Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
So the campaign is officially underway, and you're going to have two primary opponents. You know what the opponents are saying about you.
Yeah, I would assume... It depends. Potentially three primary opponents, two formally announced, and I think the other candidate is exploring at this point. So it could be three, and then there'll be a winner in the Republican, and we'll have a general election as well. But I think the tenor of it is going to be about this government. And it's going to be about the issue of what is not being done in Congress and why. And then I also believe that there's going to be an emphasis on what the future should look like. That's what we want. We want to focus this whole discussion and debate on that. And so whatever happens, I don't know who will end up really running or who will not end up really running. I anticipate that we'll have a good race, and we're not going to take anything for granted, and we're going to work hard.
And they're going to say you have outlived your usefulness.
Yeah, well, they've been saying that about me for about 40 years, so you kind of become accustomed to it. And, you know, the irony, and it's not an irony, it's just a fact, is that the two announced opponents don't live in the district, have never lived in the district as far as I can tell, even District 7, now District 3. And so the fact that they can't sign their own petitions or vote for themselves in that primary, I think will be of some curiosity as we go through this race, because, you know, the federal law says that you must live in the district once you are sworn in. And so
Can live anywhere.
You can live anywhere. You can run from Utah in this district as long as at the end of the day you're living in that district.
790-2040, 790-2040. This is an opportunity if you would like to speak with the congressman. You may do so by calling the Buckmaster Show live line. And, of course, the criticism will be coming up about your call for the boycott of Arizona in 2010.
Yeah, I anticipate we'll hear about the, you know, it's going to be the one-trick pony part of the campaign. But we feel that we can talk about hindsight as much as you want, but we have to really talk about the state of affairs in this state, the reputation that this state has, and the economy, the state that desperately needs to be changed and revitalized. So I look forward to that because, you know, in assessing blame, my opponents are going to have to also deal with the reality of who's in charge of the state. And I anticipate, both of them being former Republicans, recently converted to being Democrats, that I'll be curious as to what kind of criticism they level, both at the Republican majority in the House of Representatives and the Republican leadership in this state, how tender they are about that criticism, or how engrossed and how critical they are of what's going on. We'll see. I mean, we the advantage that people running against me have is that they really don't have to have positions until the election gets going, and we're going to work very hard to make sure that they do have positions.
What do you think of this new district? It's now called Congressional District 3, includes portion of Pima, Pinal, Yuma, Santa Cruz, and Maricopa County. So you've got a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah, it's about as large as District 7 was. We have more in Maricopa County than in the previous district. Some of the parts around Sam Hughes were moved over to what was Gabby Gifford's district, but we retain 56% of it is still in Pima County, and 60% is still in Pima County in Santa Cruz, so it's essentially a Southern Arizona district.
Raul Grijalva is with me, United States Representative from District 7. Roberta is up next on the Buckmaster Show, calling us on 790-2040. Go ahead, Roberta, you are with the congressman.
Yes, thank you very much. Congressman Grijalva, I'm a little bit confused. You recently voted against exploration for oil in the United States. I think it was H.R. 3048, and I would like to know what your reasoning is that we're approaching $5 a gallon and you're voting against a drill in the United States.
No, okay, Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta. The full context of that vote is that what the majority in the House of Representatives was doing is to waive all regulatory laws on public lands, to waive all health and safety laws on public lands, to waive any NEPA process, which requires affected communities to have some input. And what we wanted to make sure that the production of any extraction, be that oil, natural gas, mineral, that be the domestic use, be the primary use for any extraction. The Republican majority felt that couldn't put those kinds of restrictions on it. We wanted also an amendment to that legislation that required that American-made products and be the primary use for any extraction activity. Rejected that as well. And when it came to one in particular, an extraction issue, we were talking about a foreign company that was doing business with Iran in terms of uranium. Now, Iran is under extreme sanctions from this Congress and from the President of the United States for their potential nuclear development would be a danger to the whole world. We wanted a prohibition that any company that is utilizing public lands that they not be doing business with Iran for nuclear development. That was rejected as well. And what was rejected as well, Roberta, is the fair return for the taxpayer. If you have potentially $150 billion worth of public resource, be that mining, be that oil, be that gas, then the royalties collected must begin to reflect that. And that was rejected as well. So it's not a question of, and right now you have over 14 million acres of public land with leases for production, and none of them are being used. So before we start talking about opening up everything, let's make sure that the people that have leases now use them, and if they don't use them, then lose them so that some other company can come and conduct the business that they were given the lease for originally. So it's not about stopping oil production or extraction. It is about making sure that the taxpayer gets a fair return on it.
There's more to come with Congressman Raul Grijalva on the Buckmaster Show. My first question with the congressman will be, what should the United States do if Israel attacks the nuclear capability of Iran? That will be my first question. And you can join in the conversation, 790-2040. Stay with us with Congressman Raul Grijalva. With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor, and the inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. $12.49 on the Buckmaster Show, and I always like to put the Buckmaster Show callers ahead even my questions. So we'll put the we'll still get to the Iran question, but first let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we've got Rob up next. Yes, Rob, go ahead. You're with the congressman, and you have a question about immigration.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Buckmaster, and thank you, Representative Grijalva. I think you're doing a wonderful job for the people of Southern Arizona. My question with immigration is I have an idea, and I've talked to conservatives and progressives alike, and I understand that any kind of movement forward would take bipartisan support. And my idea is those that are in this country without documentation, as long as they haven't committed any felonies, create a path to citizenship, but also an accountability portion that appeals to conservatives. And as long as they're in this country and have committed no felonies, grant them citizenship. But the catch is, you'd have to pay a 1% increase in the federal income taxes for a period of 5 years, and then that money would be recouped and given back to the states for which they're a resident of. Is that something that you might be able to support? And also, I'm a Democratic candidate from Southern Arizona for the new LD-14 running for the House.
And your last name, might as well give it to us?
Sure, Rob Leach.
Okay, Rob Leach. Go ahead. You're with.
Thank you,
ahead,
Rob. I think that what I've supported and you've kind of crystallized in your proposal is the idea that people that have been here paying their taxes, working, playing by the rules, that have families with citizen children or citizen spouse, that have not committed any transaction against the law, that they be given the opportunity to go through a rigorous process on a path to legalization and a path to citizenship to come later. The requirements in the legislation I support is learning English, learning the history of this country, learning its laws, learning the civic side of being an American, and at the consequence of that process to begin the path to legalization. It would be rigorous. I think that there would be a fine attached, a number that would take care of the processing, the paperwork, the monitoring, the verification, the background checks. It would all be required as part of this, including the instruction programs that would be need to put together in terms of English acquisition and learning the civic side of this society. That's a path to legalization. And to me, and that was a bipartisan compromise two Congresses ago, one Congress ago, candidate for Senate Flake was the original co-sponsor of that. McCain supported that in the Senate with Kennedy less than 5 years ago. There is a bipartisan point here. The legislation won't pass unless it's bipartisan, but we seem to be hearing no movement in that direction. It was an interesting poll that was done that if you ask the American people, and this included the state of Arizona, where over 65% responded that there should be a path to legalization under those conditions. And if you said, do you believe in amnesty, 70% said no. But if you believe in a path to legalization with conditions, 65, 66, 67% said yes. So there is a middle ground. We just got to get off the hard rhetoric. We got to get off making this issue the political firestorm that it is every political season, and it will again. And you're going to hear part of it today in the debate with the Republican candidates in Phoenix today at 6 o'clock. Immigration is going to be an issue. This is Arizona, after all. And then you'll see the sharpness of the rhetoric trying to outdo each other when in reality the issue won't – this broken system, immigration system, won't be broken unless we come to some consensus about what a path to legalization is – and what the conditions should be.
Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Ray had a question. He did not want to go on the air, but the question is, Congressman, do congressional members have unlimited mailing services, and do they use it for political campaign mailers?
Ethically, you can't use the mailing prerogatives of any congressional office for political campaigns. Anytime we send out an information piece, whether with the latest one I think we did was on jobs and Medicare and Social Security to inform people about what is happening in Congress, it has to be checked by ethics, and it has to be approved by ethics as to the content. And quite frankly, it's more you set out position and you explain the issue. But for straight up, I'm running for office, vote for me kind of literature, no, that's against the law. And it would never pass mustard with ethics in the House of Representatives.
Okay, now the Buckmaster question that I've been asking really everybody that's running for federal office, certainly. What should the United States do if Israel launches attacks against Iran and their nuclear weapons capability?
Well, that's the catch-22 that I see the Obama administration trying to avoid, that ratcheting up the sanction process, and you see – and it's starting to affect, because you see Iran now cutting off oil supplies and crude oil supplies to France, Britain, and other countries that have joined.
I think that's why our gas prices are – that's part of the reason they're
going up. That's part of the funnel. It's always been – you know, the thing about oil, and whether we produce it here or anywhere, even the XL pipeline is going to a port in Texas to be shipped overseas. So this is a global commodity set at a global scale, and this, of course, is affecting it. I think that the pressure needs to continue on China, on Russia, and other countries that continue to do business with Iran despite the sanctions. I think that would have a tremendous effect internally on the politics, and I hope we can avoid a military confrontation. We're unwinding from
Iraq, Afghanistan,
which has cost us not only human capital but major fiscal capital, and that whole region of the world continues to be that
and
volatile.
Syria's unraveling.
And if Israel was to attack Iran, given it to protect its own interests, it would put the United States, I think, primarily in a position of having to side with Israel, and the consequence of that would be unraveling at other ends. Because so I pray that we don't reach that point, and I pray that the sanctions, the diplomatic pressure, and the UN pressure on Iran makes it turn a corner, open itself up fully for inspections, and cease its nuclear development for weapon use. That would be the route. That's the ideal route, and I hope we can avoid the confrontation that's being talked about and every day, whether Israel is indeed going to take out those potential reactors.
But you can just see that gas prices are going to be, if they keep going up like this, a huge issue in the campaign.
Oh, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge, and I think the silver bullet issues about that Republican majority are trying to push in Congress. Let's open up all the public lands for oil exploration, and even if every drop went online, it would be 2 to 3 years before you would see its effect, number one. Number two, not all that's open for exploration has available resources to take. And number three, it would only represent to this nation 7 to 9% of the consumption that this country has. The move not has to be in a different direction. Alternative fuels, renewable fuels, get those things on the grid so that we can, as a country, become independent from others in terms of energy by developing our own renewables. It's got to be a bigger portfolio than just drill, drill, drill.
I got about 1 minute with Congressman Grijalva here, and I have to ask him about what's the latest thinking on Rosemont. Do you think Rosemont is in trouble?
You know, the EPA has a great deal of power. And its recommendation not to issue the permit until air quality, water quality, public safety, public health issues are addressed is a significant point that that has to be answered. And
they wrote a letter, didn't they, to the Corps of Engineers, saying, which still has to sign off on this.
And I think that is a very powerful issue that, you know, there's been a rush to judgment. Many of us from the beginning, it's not just about opposition. It's about due diligence and making sure that we have no unintended consequences. What the EPA letter pointed out, there can be unintended consequences. There will be unintended consequences. It would affect the air quality, the water quality, the public health, and the public safety of the region, and therefore don't move forward. I think that I don't know where Rosemont and their consultants are going to go from here, but I beg the question that I think that project's in more trouble now than it was a year ago.
Congressman Raul Grijalva, thank you very much for being on the program.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
You
the
too.
Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. If you're looking for a CPA, and who isn't during the tax season, we recommend Michael C. Flowers. That will do it for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you tomorrow, 12:04, with our live program on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have yourself a great afternoon and tune in tomorrow with us. Thank you.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.